Okay, today is Tmur Daf Tes Vav Amud Bey. Tes Vav, Daf Tes Vav. I want to speak about the sugya of Tzibur, that Tzibur does not die. Lefi she'ein ha Tzibur meisim. That Tzibur does not die. Now, what does that mean? The basic halacha, if a chatos hamesos, if the person separates a carbon chatos and the person dies, what happens to the carbon chatos that has been set aside for a specific individual? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the chatos is put to death. It dies. It has to die. Because if the owner has died, there is no owner. Okay, doesn't need kapara, the misa was a kapara, whatever it is. But basically, there does exist such a concept that an individual dies. An individual dies, that's a mitzias. But a tzibur never dies. How does the Gemara illustrate this halacha? The Gemara discusses the case of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, well, good, learning Navi. You know that after the Bayis Rishon was Scharav, the Jewish people came back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and they brought a whole set of korbanos. One of the korbanos they brought, the Gemara says, was there were 12 seirim. And the Gemara says, why in the world? And the Gemara says that these seirim, these goats, these chatos, they were 12 sin offerings, were treated like a carbon ola, where they were completely burnt. So the Gemara says, what? A chatos is not completely burnt. A chatos is eaten by the Kohan. So the Gemara says these were special chatos, in that they were offered for Avodah Zarah. These are a Seire Avodah Zarah. There's a halacha that if the majority of the tzibur worships idols, Avodah Zarah, the halacha is the tzibur must bring a special carbon, a special chatos that is completely burnt. Seirim hanisrafim. A goat that is completely burnt is where the tzibur worships idols by mistake. That's the halacha. They worship idols. Then the tzibur must bring a special carbon chatos which is completely burnt. So the Gemara tells us that in the time of the Bayis Rishon, most of Klal Yisrael worshipped idols. Now when they came back to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, when they came to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, they brought the special sin offering to atone for this, that Klal Yisrael worshipped idols 70 years ago in the time of the Bayis Rishon. There was a 70-year gap between the end of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Rishon was destroyed partially because of idol worship. When they returned to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, they brought karbanos, special sin offerings, to atone for the worshipping of idols that took place 70 years ago. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. But most of the people who worship idols are dead. They died already. So if they died already, just like when it comes to an individual separates, who does a sin, who separates the carbon chatos, if he dies, you don't bring the carbon chatos, since they're no longer alive. So what's the purpose of now, 70 years later, when you build a Bayis Sheni, of bringing a special sin offerings to atone for the worship of idols, when the people who did worship the idols already died? So the Gemara gives two answers. One answer the Gemara gives is, a tzibur doesn't die. Tzibur does not die. It's true, maybe most of the people already died, but it's a tzibur. An individual dies. A tzibur doesn't die. What happens? A tzibur lives on. It's just one, they're different people, but it's part of the same tzibur. Second answer the Gemara gives, guess what? Most of the tzibur, this is an incredible answer, we don't understand what this really means, you have to understand the times, they didn't die. They lived very long lives. It's hard for us to understand, but most of the people that were present at the time of the Churban of the Bayis Rishon were still alive. That means they were at least 90 years old, I assume. Some of them were probably 150 years old. So the Gemara says, I'm not making this up, the Gemara proves it. The Gemara proves that they were Zorcha to Arichas Yomim, this group of people who were present at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Two different answers. That is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Lefi she'ein atzibur meisim," and then the Gemara says, "How do you know that tzibur does not die? How do you know this?" The Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Minole rapapaha inema." If you'll tell me that I know this, because the pasuk says, "D'chsev tachas avisecha yihyu banecha." Now, part of the process of the Gemara giving us the sense, the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Gemara wants to know, how do you know this concept? Answer number one: that tzibur does not die. It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Tachas avosecha. It's very important for what we want to talk about today. Tachas avosecha, in place of your fathers, yihyu banecha. In place of your fathers will be your children, which mean. The grandfather that simply means in place of the fathers will be the children. The children replace the fathers. It's all the same. The father may have died. The children are there. They take their place. It's one continuous tzibur. Okay, that's the Gemara. The Gemara does not like this pasuk because if this is the source that the tzibur does not die, why apply this only to a group? You could apply the same principle to an individual. If one person dies, tachas avosecha, in place of one's father, yihyu banecha, will be your children, will be the child. So if this is the source that a person that tzibur does not die, we can apply the same concept to a father and a son of an individual. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not the source. And the Gemara continues to provide a different source for the halacha of tachas avosecha yihyu banecha. Okay, fine. So that's all we need over here for the Gemara here in Masechta Tanura and today's daf, Naftes Vav on the base. Let's review, because we're going to go two more steps to get to what we want to say. Number one, we have the Gemara. The Gemara talks about the question, what happened, why was it that the Jewish people at the time of the Bayis Sheni offered special chatos? They offered them to atone for the people who worship idols at the end of the Bayis Rishon. Why? The Gemara's question is, but most of those people already have died. The Gemara gives two answers. A tzibur does not die. In the process of telling us how we know that tzibur does not die, the Gemara presented a pasuk, tachas avosecha yihyu banecha, but the Gemara rejected that pasuk because that pasuk is too good. Because that pasuk would include also the idea that an individual does not die, so the Gemara had to go to another source. Then the Gemara gave the second answer. Why did they offer korbanos for what happened 70 years ago? Most of the people did not die. Okay, fine. What's fascinating is this Gemara is repeated almost word for word in Masechta Horiyot. Very common. You have Gemaras. You have concepts, sugyas, which repeat themselves in many Masechtas. So, Kemat, the same exact Gemara appears in Masechta Horios. Gemara presents the situation where they offered korbanos 70 years later. Why did they do so? But didn't most of the people die? So the Gemara there says, let me just find the exact words because it's important what we need for our discussion. Looking for three words in the Gemara here. Okay, here it is. The Gemara presents the same exact issue from Masechta Horiyos. They offered 70 years later, they offered korbanos for the tzibur, for the worship of the Zara. Why? So the Gemara says, a tzibur doesn't die. How do you know that tzibur doesn't die? The Gemara goes through the whole process, same exact process. Again, it says, tachas avasech yibonecha. The Gemara rejects that pasuk. But then the Gemara says, dilma loy maisu. Three words. This Gemara Masechta Horiyos, there are three extra words. Who says that tzibur died? In Masechta Temura, the Gemara says, e boy yaseima. Two different answers. Number one, the tzibur does not die. And I'll prove to you there's a concept that tzibur does not die from a whole different reason, from whatever the source is. And here, Masechta Horios, the Gemara says, maybe the tzibur did not die. The Gemara does not give a difference. The tzibur was still alive. And the only reason why they were able to offer a korbana 70 years later is because the people were still alive. So it comes out, same Gemara, same idea, but in Masechta Horios, we have only one answer. And in Masechta Tmura, we have two answers. Everyone agrees in concept, everyone agrees there is a concept called that Tzibur does not die. No one is denying that. No one denies that concept. Individuals die, but the Tzibur does not die. No one denies that concept. However, do we use that concept to answer the question of how could it be they offered korbanos for what happened 70 years ago? In Masechta Tumura, we use the concept that Tzibur does not die, and therefore, even though we're dealing here with a new generation that never saw the old generation, they're going to atone for what happened 70 years ago for different people. And here, Masechta Horios, the Gemara never comes to that answer. The Gemara right away says, they never died. We don't use the answer at Tzibur. It's the same people. The people who were present when the Churban are present today, and therefore they're able to bring the Korban. Why? Why did the Gemara in Masechta Horios not take advantage of the concept of Tzibur not dying to give an answer to the Gemara, and it all concluded with a single answer? And in Tumura, the Gemara took advantage of this concept that Tzibur does not die to provide two separate answers. Answer number one, it's a different group. Everyone is dead. It's new people. They still are able to bring a korban for the previous generation because the tzibur does not die. Answer number two, you know what? They didn't die. They were still alive. But in Masechta Horios, the Gemara says only answer number two, they didn't die. What's the pshat? How do we understand this? So I saw by Rav Mordechai Kornfeld. He writes the insights on the daf. He has a forum online, a very, very, very fascinating website. It's been around for a very, very long time. So he writes and has an idea. I think I saw the idea somewhere else as well, but the idea is credited to him. There's a fundamental disagreement between Masechta Horios and Masechta Tumura in the meaning of the tzibur does not die. What's the chakira? Here's the chakira. Is it the pshat that over history there can be 100 different groups of people? Do we connect group number one? Let's put them in sequence. It's group one, group two. Every generation is another number, another link in the chain of the Masara. Is group number one linked to group number 50? According to the Gemara in Masechta Tumura, yes. When we say that Tzibur does not die, every single Tzibur, every single member, group of people throughout every point in history is all part of the larger Tzibur from the beginning of history to the end of history. That's one approach. The other approach is no. There are 50 separate groups of individuals. Each group is transformed into another group. It changes. It morphs into a different group. But it's not the same. Group number one is not the same as group number two. Group number one is not the same as group number three. Tzibur doesn't die. A tzibur changes. It's transformed. Tzibur number one is transformed into tzibur number two. Number two is transformed into tzibur number three. Number three is transformed to number four. There's nothing called death. By individuals, there's one, two, three. After a person dies, there's death, and then there's something that's separate. Being the nature of a group is different because there's always some degree of overlap. But when you go from one to three, you're already completely a different tzibur. That's, again, we have this chakir. Is it tzibur and the concept? Tzibur not dying is all part of one, the entire history is one big set, and everyone is part of one large tzibur. Or when we say that the tzibur does not die, it means we're not all part of the one set, all one group. Everyone is a different group. It's just that when you go from one group to the next group, there's a transition period, and you cannot call that transition death, because there's always some degree of overlap. That is the difference between Masechta Tmura and Masechta Horios. In Masechta Horios, the reason why the Gemara did not give the answer and explain the reason why the people of generation 70 years later offered a carbon on behalf of the people before was because they did die. In other words, the concept of the Tzibur not dying is a true concept. But that's not going to help us to bring a carbon for a group of people who are no longer alive. If the people who lived at the time of the Bayis Rishon are no longer alive at the time of the Bayis Sheni, it's true. The Tzibur has not died. The Tzibur has been transformed. And there's an application. The Gemara gives another application of where we apply this principle. The Tzibur does not die. But people of a different generation cannot, under any condition, offer a carbon for a group of people who are no longer alive. Even though the Tzibur didn't die in Halacha, that's a kind. But it's a different group of people, and you cannot offer a carbon. That's why the Gemara Masechta Horios did not give that answer. In Masechta Horios, the Gemara takes the approach that groups of change, but they're different. However, Masechta Tmura, the Gemara understands the concept of the Tzibur not dying to mean we're all part of one large group. We're dealing with the beginning of history to the end of history. Everyone is part of the same group. Therefore, the Nafkamin is, even though the people of this generation, the people of the previous generation, are no longer living, it does not matter. People of a later generation can offer a carbon on behalf of the dead because Tzibur Einam Mesos, they do not die. We're all part of one large group, and it doesn't matter. Okay, is that clear? The Chakir are two different views of Tzibur not dying. Yeah?
But if that were true, if tomorrow,
yeah,
the base would we then be responsible for all previous,
yes,
generations?
That would be an afkamina, correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. But, everyone agrees that there is a concept called the Tzibur does not die. That's a concept. Everyone agrees to that concept. Question, what does that mean? Does it mean that the history from beginning to end is one large Tzibur? From beginning of history to the end of history, one Tzibur. Or no, Tzibur doesn't die. One generation is transformed into another group. But every generation is considered a different group. L'may nafkamina, can one, when there's an obligation to bring a carbon for a group of people, and that group of people have not offered their carbon, and now it's 100 years later, and all of those original people are no longer living, can the later generation offer a carbon on behalf of that group? If we're all part of one massive group from beginning of history to end of history, yes, you can do so. If you say, what?
Can or must?
Perhaps must. Okay, that's another issue. But definitely can, for sure, at least can. But if you learn that Tzibur does not die means that it just means that each individual Tzibur is transformed into another Tzibur, that concept does not go so far to allow a group of people who are living later to bring atonement for people who have passed from this world. Two different ways to view, and that clearly explains the difference between the sugyas of Masechta Tmura and Masechta Horios. In Masechta Tmura, we have two different answers. The first answer is, they died. They're all gone. It doesn't make a difference. The next generation can bring an atonement for the previous generation, even though they're not here, because from the beginning of history to the end of history, you're all part of one large group. You're all responsible for each other. According to Masechta Horios, the Gemara says you can't give that answer, because if they're not alive, then you have no right to bring the carbon for a previous generation, even though in Halacha there is such an idea which has to be applied in another context of that Tzibur does not die. It's not good enough to bring the carbon for the dead. Yeah.
Right. Tzibur, the word community can, yeah, be interchanged with Tzibur?
Yes, it can.
So, but in the case of the Bayis Rishon,
okay,
the destruction and the whole community was disrupted. It was a total...
But the individuals,
and,
yeah,
gullus and destruction. And how could you say the community no longer? The community was destroyed. It's not just the individuals. The community.
But we're still here.
Continuity.
It wasn't destroyed.
There was an ongoing.
How are you defining Tzibur then?
That's,
yeah,
the word.
Right.
Definition,
right,
of
Tzibur.
Sarkade Tzibur.
Right.
Okay, we're not defining it as a community. We're defining it as people, as Klal Yisrael.
Nationhood.
Nationhood. Correct.
Okay.
Generations.
Okay, so you can't say a nationhood had, let's say, 100 people, 98 died, the two evolved into a new Tzibur, or is it a continuation of that Tzibur?
That's the question.
of the two.
That's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. Is it evolving? Everyone agrees. You cannot deny the fact that there is a concept which is accepted across the board called the tzibur, the group, the community, however you want to translate that word, does not die. The question is, what exactly does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that there's a nation, and the nation starts in year zero, and the nation history will end in year 6000, that nation is one nation, all part of one nation, and therefore, if that's why, that's the most broadest, the broadest context, even though the individuals who made up that nation in the beginning are no longer alive, and now we have a completely new group of people.
It's not new. There are two people are the continuation.
Okay.
So there's no totality of a tzibur dying. The proof is that tzibur doesn't die. Is that you and I are here?
Correct. Is that what it means? But that's a broad interpretation of the tzibur not dying. It's a very broad interpretation. And what is the nafkamina? What is a practical difference between these two interpretations? If there is, let's say, a 500-year difference between the group of people that lived 500 years ago had an obligation to bring a certain carbon. They're all dead. That's clear. It's now 500 years later. Can this group of people who are present 500 years later offer a sacrifice, offer that sacrifice that they were required to bring 500 years ago? If you interpret the term, the concept, that tzibur does not die in its broadest sense, we're all part of one large nation from the beginning of history to the end of history, yes, the people that are living 500 years later can bring the atonement for the people for what was required 500 years ago. But if you learn that the concept tzibur does not die does not mean we're one nation from the beginning of history, it just means that one group of people evolves into another group of people. So once we're another group of people, it's 500 years later, we've evolved already a few times. We've gone through a few cycles of evolving. We're not the same people. We're not the same people. I cannot bring a carbon on behalf.
There are links. It's a chain.
Just because it's not enough.
There's never a break.
Doesn't matter. It does. It's limited. The concept of a tzibur does not die just means you evolve into a new group, into the next link on the chain. But it's not strong enough to consider the people living 500 years later to be one with the people living 500 years ago. This is the dilemma. And this appears to be the difference between the Sugi Masechta Tumur and the Sugi Masechta Ahoryos and how we define the concept of Tzibur Eina Mesos. Both Sugis acknowledge that there does exist such a concept. The Gemara gives another example of where it applies. Okay, it's another example when it comes to the carbon tzibur, and everyone gives a machsa shekel, and there are people that are no longer living. Some of their money is mixed in. Okay, that's another concept. Everyone agrees that there is such a concept of the tzibur does not die. But how far do we apply that concept? If you apply that concept from the beginning of history to the end of history, that's the sugi masechta tumur, which allows a new generation to bring a carbon on behalf of people that are no longer here. But if you do not allow a new generation to bring a carbon on behalf of people that are no longer here, that means that the concept of the tzibur not dying just means that one group evolves into the next group. And that's all it means. It evolves, but not to the degree where you can be considered one with the previous generation. Now, what do I want with this? Now, I want something totally different. Go to Masechta Sugya, Masechta Babasha. Masechta Babasha, there is a sugya of a grandchild inheriting his father. Okay, there's a lot of details in this sugya. Basically, the case there in the Gemara is where there's a grandfather, he has property, and the son, who is the potential heir to the father, he sells the assets. He sells his father's assets. He doesn't own yet. He says, I have potential to inherit my father, and therefore I want to sell to Levi. Okay, we have Reuven. Reuven is the Yorish. He's one day will inherit the assets from let's say from Yaakov. Yaakov is the father. Reuven is the son, and Reuven says to Levi, I'm selling you in advance the assets, and then Reuven dies in the lifetime of his father Yaakov, and then Yaakov dies, And Reuven had a son. In other words, Reuven has a grandson. The Gemara says the grandson takes possession of the estate. What about Levi? Levi, what?
Levi bought the asset.
Levi, but Reuven, the son, never got it. Because Reuven, he died in the lifetime of his father.
How can you sell assets that you don't have? Fire could have burned down all the assets.
In that case, you're right. In that case, then you lose that sell at a discount. There are risks. You're right. There are risks involved. So along comes Levi, and Levi says, I want the assets. What are you talking about? I was supposed to get the assets. So the Gemara says something fascinating. It's incredible, incredible chiddush. The Gemara says, in this situation where the son died, and the next one in line is the grandson inherits directly from the grandfather. We skip the son. If the son was alive, of course, then the asset would have gone to the son, and the son already sold the assets to late, then it would go to the buyer. But being that there is no son, and the only one that's left here in the line of Yerusha is the grandson inherits from the grandfather, and Levi is left out in the street. Okay, he can't get back his money, but he has no rights to the assets. Why? The Gemara says there's a concept in halacha called a grandson inheriting from the grandfather. How do we know this? The same pasuk the Gemara here mentioned in passing, Tachas avosecha yihyu banech. The Gemara interprets this pasuk and this one, totally different drasha, that in place of your father will be your children. Meaning, in the context of a grandfather, the grandfather died. So he was supposed to bequeath his inheritance, his assets, to his son. The son is no longer here. The son died. Who steps in the place of the son? The grandson. Tachas avosecha, yihyu banech will be the son's. The son will take directly from the grandfather. And whatever the father, any transaction the father made with Levi doesn't count. Now, what does that mean exactly? So there's a chakira among the very powerful disagreement among the Rishonim, the mechanics of how it works when a grandson inherits from the grandfather. The Rashbam here is clear as day. Okay, we're not going to go through it in detail. We're short on time. The Rashbam here, clear as day, says the grandson, it's a gzeres hakasav, inherits directly from the grandfather. No steps. The grandfather died. There is no son, but there's a grandson. It's direct. Grandfather straight to the grandson. Gzeres.
Why would it be any different?
Let me explain. That's what the Rashbam says. Nothing else. Eliminate the middleman. Along comes the Rabbeinu Yonah, another Rishon, and many others, and they disagree. That's not the pshat. It works. It's both. It goes through the father. The father is no longer living. Be careful. The father is in the grave. The mechanics of how the grandson acquires the grandfather died. It became the estate. It became the property of the father, who is no longer living.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the grandfather. Now there's a tug of war. Because if it's going to the father, what are you going to say?
Should go to Levi.
That's right. Along comes the pasuk, and the pasuk is in this situation where the father died, and Levi is pulling it because it goes to the father. But the grandson is also pulling it, being that the father died in this tug of war from the grandson and Levi. We're going to give it to the grandson, but it does go through the dead father. Lamai nafkamina between these two opinions. There are many nafkaminas, but it's very simple. What about a granddaughter? What about if there's no father and there's no grandson, there's a granddaughter. There's a granddaughter. So if you say the drasha, okay, you have to work out the examples. It could be this is not a good example, but there are nafkamina. If you learn the pasuk tachas, then it's a direct link from the grandfather to the grandson. The direct link is only stayed in regard to a son, bonecha. Bonecha, it's true, sometimes means children, it means lineage, but here it's literal, we take it literally to mean a son, a grandfather to a grandson. Granddaughter? No, not necessarily. The line of Yerusha will change. If you learn like the Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a concept, a very logical concept. It goes from the father to the son. The son happens to be dead. from where, who was the next, who would have inherited the son? His children.
Yeah.
Who are his children? Their sons and daughters. Whoever will be the one that will rightfully inherit. Okay, there are differences, which is not fair. But the point I want to make is that there is a fundamental machlokes rishonim here in Baba Basha, where the Gemara teaches us a concept that a grandson inherits his grandfather when the father is no longer alive. What is the lumdis? What are the mechanics? Is it the pshat that it's direct? It goes directly from the grandfather directly to the grandson, and we completely skip the middleman? Or no, there are mechanics. It goes from the grandfather to the son. It happens to be the son is dead, but it's still the son's property. And now there are two people that are fighting. Levi is fighting, and the grandson is also fighting. Along comes the Pasuk and says that in this situation where the father is dead, we're going to give it to the grandson. We're not going to let Levi take it. Two different approaches. Now, what's fascinating is, how do you know this halacha? Tachas avosecha yubanecha. This is the same pasuk, the Gemara, in both Masechta Temura and in Masechta Harios, suggested to be the pasuk that teaches us a tzibur does not die. The Gemara said at the end, we can't use this pasuk. You know why we can't use this pasuk? Because it's too good. Why is it too good? Because it would also work for an individual does not die. Just like the pasuk says, "Tacha v'sech yubanecha," that the next generation takes over. So we can extend this that if an individual dies, the next generation takes over. An individual doesn't die, and we know in halach individuals do die. When it comes to korbanos, if a person has a private korban and he dies, it's over. No one's bringing the korban. That's it. The korban, the chatas, it's over. The child's not bringing the korban. It's too good. But the Gemara originally wanted that the pasuk tachas avasech yibanecha should be the pasuk to teach us that tzibur does not die. Now I want to suggest that what does it mean that tzibur does not die? Over here, it's not like this. You go look at Baba Basra. You take out Daf Kuf Nun Tes, and you look at this sugya, and there's the sugya of the grandson, and there's a Rashbam. And there is Rabbeinu Yonah, and it's Levitic. And everyone is fighting the lumness, the mechanics. How does it work? Does it go direct from the grandson, the grandfather? Does it go through the father? It's a lot of Torah as a whole, but there's two approaches. Happens to be that the same exact pasuk is used in Masechta to Masechta Harayos to teach us tzibur does not die. That and then we have a machlokes between Masechta Temura and Masechta Harayos in the lumness of what does it mean that tzibur does not die? Does it mean generation number 1 and generation 50 are all the same? We can skip all the middlemen. If we have generation 1 and generation 50, and there's a who knows how many years in between, what was the lumness of Masechta Temura? It's all the same. The tzibur does not die. It's one big tzibur from the beginning of time to end of time. Everyone is connected. Or no! It's tzibur does not die is one, it's a transfer, evolvement. It's a transformation from one generation to the next. But it doesn't mean that but if you're not alive, you're not connected. This disagreement, same pasuk, between Masechta Temura and Masechta Harayos is really the same disagreement between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rashbam that says that the grandson goes directly to the grandfather. Forget about the middleman. It's following Masechta Temura. And Masechta Temura, they died 70 years ago. They're all gone. How are you allowed to bring a carbon now for these people? That tzibur doesn't die. We're all connected. We're all one. We're all one. It's just one large unit. It's magic. We go all the way back. We go back to them. We don't have to have a connection between them. Everyone in the middle is gone. We can go all the way back to them. That is the approach of the Rashbam, because it's the same pasuk. It's the same pasuk. Whereas Rabbeinu Yonah that says, no, you gotta go through the steps. You gotta go from one link to the next link. The first link is 70 years ago. Now we come 70 years later. They're different people. They're different people. It's true that tzibur does not die, but they're different people. Different people. You can't bring a carbon. You have to focus on the facts. And then we take that same pasuk and we apply it to teach us the law of a grandson inheriting the grandfather. It's a technical approach. Then the lumdus is we go through the dead son. The grandfather died. We go one generation to the... who inherits? The father inherits in the grave. And then from the grave, then from that generation, it goes now to the next generation. That's the approach of Masechta Horios. And Masechta Horios, if you're not alive... If you're not alive, you can't bring a carbon for that generation. So that's the point I'm trying. That's the idea I'm trying to present over here. We have the same pasuk. Tachas avosecha yubonecha. It's used in the Horios and Tumur to teach you the halacha of tzivu does not die. There's obviously a fundamental difference in the understanding of how to interpret this pasuk when it comes to tzivu, because there's two different gemaras. Tumur and Horios have different conclusions. We have the same pasuk being used to teach the law that a grandchild inherits from the grandfather. What is the relationship from a grandchild to a grandfather? Is it a relationship that I'm one with him? Mm-hmm. Or is it, I'm only one with my grandfather through my father, through the different steps? That's the Machloikis Rishonim. The Machloikis Rishonim appears to parallel the Machloikis of the Sugyas of Tmura and Masechta Horios. That's the idea.
You should go.